Karen, what do you think of Pierce?
Well, I think there are pros and cons to every candidate, so we just need to weigh up the pros and cons.
Have you been sent from the future to destroy me? Because it's working! I think that each candidate has merits and demerits, and I don't know my left butt cheek from my right butt cheek, but I believe in listening to both butt cheeks and then farting out my mouth.
Oh, okay.
It's not even takes talent. You have none. You are just a blah, 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 blah.
Okay, Amy, that is enough.
I have bitten my tongue so long, it looks like a dog's cushion. But no more. You have made it impossible to do this job. You have two settings, no decision and bad decision. I wouldn't let you run a bath without having the Coast Guard and the fire department standing by. But yet, here you are running America. You are the worst thing that has happened to this country since food in buckets and maybe slavery. I have had enough. I'm gone.
Well, I guess she's finished with her little... Nope. Look at that. There's more.
You have achieved nothing.
Uh-huh.
Apart from one thing, the fact that you are a woman means we will have no more women presidents because we tried one and she sucked. Goodbye, ma'am.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So the new season of HBO's Veep is only a week away and a perfect complement to the wild ride of the current presidential elections happening as we speak. Now, the show stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Tony Hale, Matt Walsh, Reed Scott. My guest tonight, who you first met in the movie My Girl 25 years ago and now stars as Amy Bruckheimer on Veep, and that is Chicago's very own Emmy-nominated actress Anna Chlumsky. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You are one of Chicago's very own. What neighborhood did you grow up in? Did you grow up in the city?
Not proper. I grew up still at Cook County suburb, Broadview.
Okay.
So like Roosevelt Road and 17th Avenue. That was my beat.
that was your beat. Very cool. Now, when you first started, you were like modeling as a baby, and I love this. Your first gig was an ad in the Chicago Sun-Times for Carson Peary Scott. Is that right?
Wow, yeah, that's right. You do very good research, my friend.
Excellent, excellent. So that's cool. So, you've really been kind of in front of a camera, since the early days.
Yeah, maybe too long.
Well, you took a break for a while. We'll talk about that. You took a little bit of a break for a while. But what I had your mom get you into it? Was it just kind of a cool thing to do? Did you just, great personality?
I really think that the main motivation was financial, because she was a single mom and didn't have a real plan for how I was going to have, like a college fund or anything.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, I mean, she worked for Eastern Airlines. In the reservations department. Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Nugget. And there were lots of, it was actually, from what I understand, for the 80s, it was a very progressive female work environment. They were allowed to bring their kids all the time.
And,
a lot of women worked there. And so there was another woman there who had her kids in modeling and said that she thought I would do well, and taught my mom how to get my picture out to agencies and stuff. And, I think that it just seemed to make sense to my mom to be able to put away some kind of a college nest egg for me.
Brilliant.
It took.
Now, did you start doing commercials right away then too?
Yeah, I think my first one was when I was two. Five was a real one. And then I guess it was a test when I was two.
Okay.
Splitting hairs, we'll say five. And, that's pretty much how I paid for school ever since like grade school.
What was that commercial when you were five? Like, what was that commercial? Do you remember? I'm sure you have it.
I feel like it had to do with Christmas. I don't know the 5-year-old one very well. When I was seven, I did a commercial for Chloraseptic. and that was a national commercial that played for a long time. So that was how I paid for grade school.
Gotcha. That's cool. Hey, that's cool, man. Any way you can.
I know.
Exactly. So you were seven, and then I know, you know, you were doing some theater too. You were in Annie. You played Molly in a theatrical production of Annie. Do you remember where that was? Was that in school? Was that on?
I played Molly at Pheasant Run, then at Theater in St. Charles, and then I was Tessie right after that at Drury Lane in Oakbrook.
Drury Lane. I got married to Drury Lane, actually. That was where our reception was. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow.
Now, there's some great productions there. I mean, people talk about productions in downtown Chicago, obviously, but the Pheasant Run and, mm-hmm. and still Drury Lane to this day have some amazing productions that happen there.
And, you know, yeah, and I was talking to, well, I have a friend and colleague who I was in a show on Broadway with last season named Blake Hammond, who was in that in the Annie production with me at Drury Lane.
Wow.
I know, can you believe it? And he said I haven't gotten back there to see a show, but he said that the art direction is that, you know, they're really taking it in great places at Drury Lane. So that's wonderful to hear. And Pheasant Run, you know, has always put out, I mean, wonderful, wonderful talent. I mean, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace days, and I both came out of there. We always talk about the Pheasant Run Mafia because there
funny.
Are so many people. Like a lot of us are still doing it for a living, and we all kind of got our start at Pheasant Run. So
that's cool.
It's a neat thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now I know your first on screen role wasn't My Girl. It was Uncle Buck, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It was. I was an upgraded extra, is what they call it.
Upgraded extra. Okay. Do you remember meeting John Candy?
I didn't meet John Candy, so I don't remember that because I didn't. But what's amazing to me is now Gabby Hoffman and I got to sit next to Gabby on that one. She was the principal in that scene, and she and I always thought that was when we met. For the first time, because I've, you know, since seen her. And she reminded me last year that we met at an audition for Field of Dreams, which was her first gig.
Wow.
And she remembers, I mean, like, my goodness, how young were we? And she actually remembers meeting me. It's confounding to me that she has that she can remember
That's
that.
Cool.
But and you know, I remember meeting her then. I mean, when she said it was kind of like a Ratatouille moment where I just went, "Whoa, that's right! That I remember that room and how it looked and meeting you and yeah."
It's so cool that you grew up in this business with a lot of these people. I mean, that's neat.
It's kind of it's bizarre.
And then, of course, and I'm looking at the timeline of this. So My Girl comes along, and this year, this fall, is the 25th anniversary, which seems like it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like a million years ago. But my God, you were 11, 10, 11 years old when you made the film?
I was 10 when we filmed it, and 11 when it came out.
Yeah. And that was,
it feels like a million years for me. So
I know, but that was a big role. That was a huge role for you. I mean, that was a big movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know any different. So, you know, I was kind of just going along with it.
Where did you have to film that?
That was in Orlando.
Orlando. Okay. That's not so bad. Not so bad with Macaulay Culkin.
No, great for a 10-year-old. Are you kidding? We were, you know, we got to go to Disney World and Sea World and Universal Studios. I mean, we had all those mapped out like by heart. So yeah, we were happy.
And you got an MTV Movie Award. I mean, you really can't pass that up, huh? First award.
I guess not.
And I know you did movies, you did television, then you kind of went on a hiatus for a while, and you went to the University of Chicago. I know there's always times when you're really young that, you know, roles become a little more scarce at some point. Mm-hmm. Is that why you kind of said, I'm going to go back to school, or was it something else? What drove you back?
I always knew I wanted to go to school. I always knew I wanted, to get a higher education. Adolescence was pretty, you know, I mean, it's rough for everybody, but it was also rough to kind of go through in show business as well. And so it kind of became the source of a lot of soreness for me and a lot of sadness for me. And so when I got to college and I discovered that there were a whole bunch of things I could do that had nothing to do with what I did as a child and, had nothing to do with how fat or thin I was. you know, it was a real revelation for me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have to, it's my choice, you know, like I don't have to you know, muscle this anymore. And I, of course, also when you're a kid, you know, you're truthful by nature. So it's not like you're trained for the craft or anything. So by the time you're in college, you really don't, you know, if you're going on auditions and stuff, unless you really have some kind of training already, you really don't know what you're doing. So it's not even like I was very good. So I just felt very, I just felt like really wrong, just kind of beating the pavement at that age.
So you needed a break.
I felt really right. You know, I felt really right behind the walls of academia.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you needed a break and you needed to do some normal stuff as a kid. Yeah, you need to do something normal. What's your degree in?
International studies is technically what it is, but it's international relations is okay. is the better way to explain it to anybody.
And you went out and got some gigs in the private sector. I mean, you went out and you pursued some of that for a while.
Yeah, I was a fact checker. My entry level job was a fact checker at the GATT, the food guides. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was an editorial assistant for a science fiction and fantasy imprint at HarperCollins, and that was the last 9-to-5 I had before getting back in, getting my chops and training in New York and becoming an actress again.
Yeah. So what made you do that? Did you miss an element of that? Was it exciting? Was it a conversation?
Certainly. I mean, certainly I did. I think, you know, I think there was something inside me that made me know that there was more to this job, this profession, than just the popularity contest, than just, you know, looking pretty and hoping that people choose you for a role. And you know, through adolescence and childhood, that's kind of how it felt, because you're just pleasing the adults, you know.
I don't think a lot of people, though, would go back to school and do that. So you went to New York and you went through acting school and you went through acting training and stuff at a prestigious school.
By very good advice from my, a big blessing was I did hook up with an agent when I moved to New York, which, again, it's like you do things, your actions speak louder sometimes than
anywhere.
Like, I thought I was done with show business, yet I got in touch with an agency, you know, to hold on to my headshots in case. And then 3 years later, decided to use them, you know. But they were so generous in accepting me and not going, well, we don't need you if you don't want it, you know. And my agent at the time was like, well, you know, you need some chops. Like, you need to train a little. And gosh, like, best advice ever, really. Cause then I went to the Atlantic and it was also kind of a test for me. I was like, well, if this is enjoyable, then I'll continue it for a year, whatever, you know, I'll see if it works. And like the first day of acting class, I was like, oh, I'm doing this forever.
I don't care
how long it takes. This is it.
Well, and then you did some 30 Rock, you did Law and Order, you did some other TV roles, loved In the Loop. That was a great film.
Yeah. Yeah, In the Loop was the start of all this, I think, for me. Yeah.
I think it was. And then came Veep, and we're going to talk about that next with Anna Klumsky, next on 720 WGN.
They say all babies are cute, but whoever they are should be stuck in a stroller and pushed into traffic.
It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Chicago's very own actress, Anna Klumsky, on the fifth season premiere of Veep. So Veep, Emmy award-winning HBO series, Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the VP, now the president, might be VP again. I know, I saw this. Tony Hale, Reed Scott, Matt Walsh as well. How did this role come around?
This, I was a rehire, really. I had done, it's so cool. You never think that, for actors, it's like you spend so much time hustling, you think it's all going to be arduous, and then all of a sudden you love doing a project with somebody, and lo and behold, they also love working with you, and then they go, oh, do you want this job too? And you're like, yes.
That's great.
So that's what, it's beautiful. So that's what happened. I did In the Loop, which is a film that came out in 2009, and I did that with Armando Iannucci and Simon Blackwell. and Tony Roche and some, you know, many other writers, but those guys were the ones who then were on Veep. And yeah, they told me they had me in mind for the role of Amy, and the rest is history.
Well, that's great. So you didn't have to audition for the role. And when you get to that point, that's pretty cool.
And every time I say that, I feel like I feel like I have to like toy over my shoulder, but it's not true. That's how it shook out. I didn't have to audition.
and this role, Amy Bruckheimer, the president's, and I'm gonna read this as I feel it too. The president's troubleshooter, problem solver, issue mediator, conscious examiner, thought thinker. That's kind of who she is. She's like everything to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That's terrific.
Character.
Who wrote that? That's fantastic.
But it's true, and I got to tell you,
especially now that she doesn't have an actual title anymore. Like that's really good to have.
I know it's kind of bizarre. It's kind of bizarre. But you know what? I think a lot of people relate to your role because a lot of people feel that way in their jobs, that they're surrounded by chaos.
Yeah, I find that. Not just in D.C. Overwhelmingly in D.C., people come up to you and say, "Oh my gosh, you guys are really getting this so right." But
that's scary. But I've heard you say that before. That is scary. Yeah. That it is that close to what happens in real life politics.
Oh, totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah. But also, you know, that's what I love about what we've done up to now is. It's a satire, yes, on politics, but it's also a satire on office politics. You know, it's something that everybody can kind of identify with to an extent, and therefore maybe identify with the people who are in government as well. You know, as opposed to mythologizing them the way you know the media loves to. So, I run into people all the time. Sadly, who were like, "I'm Amy," and I'm like, "Oh,
oh man, you poor thing,
like,
right?
Get out of whatever situation you're in."
Which you kind of did this past season. I mean, that was a moment for moments that I'm sure you'll have another Emmy nomination for. That was fabulous.
Oh,
thank you. That meltdown was like, I think people have been watching the show for 4 years, kind of wanted that moment to happen. They were waiting for
it felt like that. I mean, the response to that scene last year was something else. I mean, people are still talking about it. Like it's really gratifying too to hear that because, you know, I certainly enjoyed playing it. So, yeah, good stuff.
Now, something, you know, behind the scenes a little bit in the writer's room, you guys read a draft and then you get up and act it out. It's kind of like classic workshopping the way that is done.
Yes,
that's kind of cool.
In fact, yeah, they call them rehearsals, but I personally have always called them workshops because that's exactly what they are. Yeah, yeah.
And there's improv a little bit involved, something Julia, I know, was used to, you know, when she was here in Chicago, too. And, yeah, there's a lot of Chicago folks. There's a lot of Chicago folks on this show.
It's
crazy. Yeah.
And more just pop up. It's something else. And I'm so proud of everybody, and they're wonderful. And, you know, and we all bring something else to the table, really. You know, there is improv involved, but remarkably, it's really kind of in the workshop process where that comes in. It's not an improv show, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
the stuff
right.
you see on screen is scripted, and so that's nice for someone like myself, or like some of our other folks who aren't improv trained, who are more classically trained, because then we kind of feel like we're allowed in the sandbox too.
Right. Yeah, I bet. I bet. Yeah. But I mean, I look at this, there's a lot of Chicago folks, and Kevin Dunn, who mm-hmm. you know, and you guys kind of just,
OG.
He is hysterical. Oh my God. That role. I just cannot wait till the camera hits that guy. Cause he's going to say something so inappropriate.
He's incredible. He's incredible. And he's like, it's, you know, it's so nice hanging out because, you know, he's classic West Side. So you're just, you know, it always feels like you're a family.
Yeah, I bet. And Matt Walsh, too. And, you know, so
Matt Walsh, Gary Cole, and even Dan Beckett all spent time in Chicago. Tim Simon spent time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Sam Richardson spent time in Chicago. So, yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Now, after a hiatus. And I know you've filmed a lot of these already. How do you get back into character? How do you like jump back in?
You know, it's funny. I feel like now after 5 years, it wasn't as arduous. It was you know, you kind of, I'm a nerd. I'm a total craft nerd. And so I keep my little notebooks, my little scene books, and all my notes of every episode.
Yeah.
And they come in handy more often than you expect, because sometimes they'll do a reshoot and you're like, oh, glad I wrote that down.
Cool.
But yeah, so I look, you know, I kind of have my little notes and I just go, okay, there she is. There's Amy. And also it's really bizarre. I don't want to sound like it's all vanity, but it's really funny, but there's a certain part in my hair that when we cut the hair and dye the hair each season, if we are just a little left or a little right, I mean, I'm talking a centimeter, it doesn't look like Amy, but when you hit the actual spot, yeah, like for the part in her hair, you're like, oh, there she is. Okay, let's go.
So that helps. So I'm sure that helps
it
getting
totally helps.
The hair.
Everything helps. Yeah.
And the season left us, and I watched it again last night on HBO Go, that election night just ended. And I know, which was so crazy chaotic because, you know, this could go in 10 different directions, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the show premieres the morning after. So, I mean, how fun is that going to be?
Yeah. Oh, that was my favorite when Dave Mandel, our new showrunner, said that was his plan, was to do it in real time. I was very excited about that because that's something we hadn't tried yet, and it was I think it really served.
I didn't realize that it was in real time. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And you have another baby
Not like 24, you know, real time. I mean, it's moved real time. It's not like, you know, we're taking bathroom breaks or anything.
Sure. Yeah. Gotcha. And by the way, second baby on the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's got to be fun. Number two.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have a half brother who's very dear to me, but we did not grow up in the same house. So I don't know what it's like to grow up with a sibling. And so therefore I have no idea, of course, what it is to parent a sibling. So this will be,
it's
be
fun.
New and adventurous.
Oh, they never fight. It'll be fabulous. No, that's great. Congratulations.
Braiding each other's hair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, very cool. I'm very excited. The fifth season of Veep premieres on HBO Sunday, April 24th. And for more on Veep, visit HBO.com. What a pleasure it is speaking with you.
Likewise. Spring's coming. I think we're all smiling.
I know. Do you make it back to Chicago often?
I don't too often, but I do get to come in like a week or so.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Have fun.
Thank you.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.